Everybody's looking for some way. I'm looking for some way out. I've been wasting my time standing in line, if this is what it's all about. All I got is a job that I don't like and a woman that don't understand. So tonight at the bar, I'll get in my car and take off for the promised land. Drinking and dreaming, knowing damn well I can't go. I'll never see Texas, LA, or old Mexico. But here at this table, I'm able to leave it behind. Drink till I'm dreaming, a thousand miles out of my mind. This suit and this tie is just a disguise. This ain't really me. Some people are born to be tied down. Some people are born to be free. When I look down the road, she don't know how it gets under my skin. She's got my body, but my heart and soul are out there riding the wind. Thinking and dreaming, knowing damn well I can't go. I'll never see Texas, LA, or old Mexico.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. The state of nature has a law of nature to govern it, which obliges everyone, and reason, which is that law, teaches all mankind, who will but consult it. That being all equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. Whenever the legislators endeavor to take away and destroy the property of the people, or to reduce them to slavery under arbitrary power, they put themselves into a state of war with the people, who are thereupon absolved from any further obedience. John Locke, 1690. Good evening, my friends, on this 30th day of December, my last live broadcast for this year. Jeffrey Bennett with an unusual installment of The Edge tonight. I mentioned last night before we closed, and as we all usually do on Wednesdays, that our program will deal with health-related issues tonight. But as this day has gone on, different things began to hit me and strike me, and I realized that I needed to take this final program for the year and go in a totally different direction, because it's time to wake up. You think? I mean, maybe it's just too late. We stand at the approach to the moment when elected representatives of an illegitimate government in Washington, D.C., better known as the Swamp, or La La Land, or whatever the hell you wish to call it, have every intention to install a paid foreign agent to the highest office in our land. And the evidence of fraud in this election is over, it's only overwhelming. We're, of course, told by the propaganda ministry, better known as the network news, that no such evidence exists. Joseph Robinette Biden is a traitor to the United States, period. The evidence is more than overwhelming. He and his family were proven paid agents of the communist Chinese government, period. And the evidence is not overwhelming. The propaganda ministry denies and ignores said facts. And so we face this senile, half-witted, alleged president-elect, and he just laughs it off and talks about horses when the subject is raised in public. I can no longer contain my disappointment and utter disgust for those that I must consider as my fellow Americans. And the most sickening, cowardly, deliberately ignorant collection of delusional dumbasses ever gathered in one place that I've witnessed in my lifetime. And so I find it nearly impossible to express or contain the outrage I'm feeling. My chest is heavy. I have some difficulty sleeping these days. I've made that very plain and clear to most of you. I never in my life had to imagine that I might live to see the downfall of the United States of America, particularly at the hands of its very citizens. And yet, here it is, staring me straight into my tearful eyes. I pray my death is swift when they come for me on the day that I'm confronted by the officials of this gang of evil bastards. Or I will do my best to take as many as I can to the grave along with me. I have no intention to surrender like so many so-called Americans seem content to do in this time of trial. I've heard it said in my life that God watches over drunks and idiots. Well, he sure has his hands full in the United States. May the Lord have mercy on all of us. Happy New Year, dumbasses. From one that is done with all of this shit. Larry Cooper, December 28th, 2020. I'll not mince words, my friends. With few exceptions, I will, in fact, share the exact written words. What is interesting about that piece is that it was originally published, it was posted on Federal Observer as a responding comment to a column which we had posted some while ago, a few days ago. And I was so blown away by it that for the second time in the 20-year history of Federal Observer, I chose to turn it into a column. I thank you, sir. It is a brilliant piece of writing. I understand it. I think most of our audience will understand it. I know my friend Ken out there who's listening understands it, for he and I have had many similar conversations of that type over the last couple of weeks. It is profound what we're going through in this nation. Simply profound. One little bit of good news that I would pray would take place. This came from writer Charlie Butts this afternoon under the headline that a pro-life legislator is praying for victory from the Lord. He's an Oklahoma state senator and expects a lawsuit over his proposal to abolish abortion in his state. But you see, he is still fighting for the lives of the pre-born. Warren Hamilton, serving his first term as a state senator, makes no secret that he is a pro-life Christian. Plans to introduce the Abolition of Abortion in Oklahoma Act, Equal Protection and Equal Justice, for the upcoming legislative session. A bill that, if passed, would make abortion completely illegal in Oklahoma. He stated that God has blessed America for nearly 400 years. And he goes on to say that with the 63 million plus innocent children that we've killed under the color of law, we should expect that God's blessing will soon dry up. Oh, he's mindful of Ezekiel 33, which speaks about a watchman on the wall who sounds the alarm when harm is coming. For if people do not heed said warning, then their blood will be on their own hands. If the watchman does not sound the alarm, however, then he will be held accountable for the people's blood. If the proposal is passed and signed by Oklahoma Governor John Kevin Stitt, then Senator Hamilton does not doubt the measure will face court scrutiny. And he says, I expect that it's going to happen. And if it does, well, it's like Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory is from the Lord. But even if the Lord does not provide the victory Hamilton hopes for, he says it is the responsibility of everyone to fight the battle. But he does say that support among members of both chambers of the Oklahoma Congress exists and is growing every day. I hope and I pray that that is true. For those of you who do visit Federal Observer, you will find that we have a category on that page, which has gone through several name changes, but the one that finally sunk in with me was Let There Be Life. And that is as it should be, my friends. That is where it should be. I promised you at the beginning of this program somewhat of a mixed bag program. I'm going to share a little part of that with you right now. It's not very lengthy. A woman, a writer, an editor of a publication that I have massive respect for. Not all, but a good number of the columns that we post on Metropolis Cafe come from the particular website she represents. Dealing with education. And I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday. An article she wrote some months ago talking about a visit with a sixth grade class to the Pavec Museum of Broadcasting. The most memorable field trip of elementary school she'd ever been involved with. Had a live radio broadcast that her students and she had produced. As part of the broadcast, several students were instructed to write a news bulletin. And the gist of that bulletin was that the governor of Minnesota had decreed that schools would close and everyone would be homeschooled the following week. Parents who could not manage it on their own could send their children to the governor's mansion for help. Remembering their creative energies always makes Annie chuckle. Little did she know that their fake news bulletin was almost prophetic, and that in the age of COVID-19, the students of not only Minnesota, but around the entire globe would be required to start homeschooling. And she said it's been interesting to watch the outcome of those makeshift homeschool efforts. And she laughed when she came across a particular journal entry of one young student, which was shared by his mother on Facebook. And it was dated 3/16 of this year, signed by Ben, homeschooled. Says, it's not going good. My mom's getting stressed out. My mom is really getting confused. We took a break so my mom can figure this stuff out. And I'm telling you, it's not going good. Well, the mother had the good sense to laugh about the situation and reassure people that things were looking up in their homeschool experiment. Transition's been more difficult for other mothers because, well, there's videos out there. Some of the stories we've tried to share, some of them have come to me and asked for some guidance and some advice. That's my comment, not Annie's. And this one video depicts this poor woman overwhelmed trying to keep up with teachers' demands and schedules and online programs, proclaiming that if we don't die of corona, we're going to die of distance learning. But her desperation raised two important points. The first, hats off to real homeschool moms. The world is waking up and realizing just how much effort it takes to play both mom and teacher to students of various ages. But there's a lot of them that are doing damn well. Now, the second point, maybe a little bit more subtle, hints at the philosophical difference between the frantic homeschooling of COVID-19 and the homeschooling done routinely by thousands and thousands of families around this country. Because you see, ordinary homeschoolers know how to think outside the box. That's what keeps them sane. Homeschools are not run like traditional schools with regimented grades or class periods and a mountain of busy work to occupy the students' time. No, mothers learn from experience which subjects are conducive to group learning, which come with the added benefit of allowing younger students to work with more advanced material. And we are desperately trying to provide with our readers at Metropolis.cafe more advanced material. Hey, it ain't going to kill them. They're going to soak it up better than the older students. And at the same time, students learn to be independent learners, working on their own, not needing to be spoon-fed minute by minute from a teacher who may have some other things in mind. Now, the woman in the video's got four kids, different classes, different teachers. Teachers rightly wanting to do their jobs well, make sure children don't fall behind during this time. They're continually hovering, frantically wondering if the parents can handle the system that they've been handed. Problem is, most parents can't. That's not a slam on the parents. It's simply a reflection of a broken education system that needs to be reevaluated. You remember John Taylor Gatto, former New York Teacher of the Year, and once stated this: it is the great triumph of compulsory government monopoly mass schooling that among even the best of my fellow teachers and among even the best of my students' parents, only a small number can imagine a different way to do things. The kids have to know how to read and write, don't they? They have to know how to add and subtract, don't they? They have to learn to follow orders if they ever expect to get a job. But this wasn't always the case in America, Gatto asserted. He stated that only a few lifetimes ago, things were very different in this country. Originality and variety were common currency. Our freedom for regimentation made us the miracle of the world. Social class boundaries were relatively easy to cross. Our citizenry was marvelously confident, inventive, and able to do much for themselves independently and to think for themselves. We were something special, we Americans. All by ourselves, without government sticking its nose into and measuring every aspect of our lives. Without institutions and social agencies telling us how to think and feel, we were something special as individuals, as Americans. Well, miracle of miracles, people like our parents and our grandparents, they survived back then. In fact, Gatto even suggested they were able to thrive and soar to levels that we only dream of for today's children. Which brings us to the present. This time of unbelievable uncertainty is a great advertisement for the flexibility and viability of homeschooling. Parents can teach their children. My God, they should have been doing it all this time. But they've expected the schools to be the babysitters. What we need to realize is that their makeshift homeschools might not look exactly like the traditional classroom and learning environment that teachers are hoping for. If they don't, that's just fine with me. For every day is a school day in life. And the sooner we recognize this, the sooner we will free ourselves, our teachers, and especially and most importantly, our students, to thrive as individuals eager to learn and grow, no longer stifled by outdated industrialized education systems. Now, if you take a moment and ask me, with the other things you're talking about, why did you insert this commentary into the program tonight? Let's assume that this program had nothing to do with education tonight, but in a roundabout way, it does. Think about the quotes that we shared with you from John Locke to open. Think about the comments we share with you for the angers of Mr. Cooper. And how all of this is so frustrating. Does one think that Larry Cooper's commentary is the only way that he thinks? Yeah, the article's entitled Time to Wake Up, You Think? Which, by the way, is going to be the title of tonight's program. But, yeah, you can read it on Federal Observer. And believe me, it is well worth reading. It's well worth sharing. Because he's not the only one that's that angry. You will find this night every piece of music that we're going to share for the breaks, and otherwise, every bit of it, I very carefully hand-selected. Each one has a very specific message. Our opening piece of music we're going to share in a few moments as we go to the break. There's a lot going on. A massive amount of stuff going on, my friends. And it shocks me how little people get it. The conversations I've had with people over the last few days, I cannot tell you. I shared with you a little bit last night. Four conversations I had on the phone yesterday took up a number of hours. My friend Ken, he's angry. He's fed up. But he also knows that he's got some other issues that have kind of torn him lately. I mentioned the passing of his brother. 2 days ago, my marvelously wonderful great aunt, not that she was my great aunt, she was my aunt. She was my mother's sister. And in so many respects, she was there more for my sister and I than our mother ever was. Yeah, those kind of losses are hard for anyone. They, in my case, that just compounds much of the stress. But I'm also at peace because I know she is in a better place than you and I are right now. Oh, big deal. So we're up and we're walking around. We can turn on the television. Turn the damn thing off. There's nothing to see on the stupid television. local news is a joke anymore. Because two-thirds of a news program is based up on all this national and international crap. They can't do a show without COVID, COVID, COVID. I'm sure that, you know, in her death certificate, they'll say, well, suspected COVID. That's what they're doing with everybody. What's the gal's name that was on Gilligan's Island, passed away today? Dawn Wells, is that her name? 80-some years of age. Beautiful woman in her time. And son of a gun, a real surprise, isn't it? That the comments made upon her death had to do with COVID-19. I mean, come on. Everybody who dies ain't dying of COVID. The COVID con. My friends, it's all beyond absurd. It's appalling to me. Mike, if you want to put on that piece of music that takes us to the break, let's go ahead and do it and let it run out. And when we come back, we're going to share another group of commentary that was sent to me by another reader. And interesting. What, are you down the hallway at the restroom? There you go. There you go. I don't know what the length of time is on that piece of music, but and I can't remember which one it is right now. But I think it'll bring us pretty close. So if you want to do it, let's just do it. Oh, you okay? I'm sorry. I got you screwed up. I'll be back in a few minutes. Listen to the words.
And I've been told there isn't any wonder that I fall. Why do we suffer crossing off the years? There must be. It sometimes fades before I know. Hurting brings my heart to you, crying with my need, depending on your love to carry me. The love that shed his blood for must be the reason for it all.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago when warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired Stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news. Truth stood for years down the drain. Trailer parks with the building cold. Cul-de-sacs from the country road. High-tech bars, bad karaoke sounds. Uncle Sam keeps your money spent. Pay your tithes, you can't pay your rent. Foreign car selling big in American towns. What happened? Does anybody know? What happened? Where did America go? Everything Walmart all the time. No more mama, pop, five, and dime. What happened? Where did America go? Where did America go?
Before the break, I made reference to the COVID con. I'm in the last 20-odd minutes of my final program for this year. And when we get back together again, it'll be 2021. But frankly, what the hell difference does that make? Look what we've gone through this year. COVID-19. I mean, it's truly an amazing virus. One which has apparently cured seasonal influenza, measles, heart disease, tuberculosis, cancer, and most other diseases. It's also abolished death from natural causes and even accidents. I mean, it appears to be highly intelligent and quite selective. Extremely virulent in churches, schools, restaurants, gyms, bars and clubs, social gatherings and private homes. And yet seemingly has no effect on the thousands of employees who work at Walmart and Target and Kmart and Home Depot and Amazon warehouses and especially liquor stores. And the virus can also live on any surface, except for anything shipped in the mail by Amazon. And despite the virus, can travel distances of up to 6 feet, but not beyond 6'1". Many public parks and beaches nevertheless remain restricted as a necessary precaution against any possible spread of infection. Then, of course, there's the halls of the U.S. Congress and the Senate and national parliaments and most other hubs of government power around the world. They also seem to be largely unaffected by this deadly disease. Virus seems to mainly target small, independent mom-and-pop businesses, restaurants, barber shops, salons and such, which generally see far fewer customers than their corporate big-box counterparts. Gee, I wonder what the girls of the street, you know, the ones that lean up against the lamppost, I wonder how it's affected their business this year. Well, but COVID's also ravaged the food supply chain, caused the closing of farms, meat packing, food processing plants. Oh, it's forced farmers and other food producers to lay off workers and discard their harvest in record time across America, while leaving the employees of large supermarket chains virtually unaffected. Utility workers hastily and covertly installing 5G transmitters in schools and throughout neighborhoods during the lockdowns, they seem to possess a particular immunity or peculiar immunity. But they'd probably still need to be locked down and vaccinated at some point after the installations were completed. And in many areas, mandating the wearing of cloth or paper masks to prevent too much oxygen from entering people's bodies and affecting their brains. Spraying the beaches and streets with bleach and other noxious chemicals while also dumping various other toxic airborne pollutants from planes over densely populated areas. All these things are thought to be prudent and necessary measures to protect the health of the general population, especially those already suffering from acute respiratory problems. Oh, but surprisingly, my friends, police uniforms, they apparently may hold some hope for a cure for the virus. I mean, evidently, no social distancing nor even masks are necessary for those wearing police uniforms. Coincidentally, the large crowds of unmasked BLM and Antifa rioters and looters who often clash with them also seem to be strangely immune. Now, virus, of course, is generally not known to target children, but nevertheless, arbitrary school closures and social distancing policies have been adopted in many areas as necessary precautions against this deadly threat. And although animals were not initially thought to be any danger, the president of Tanzania recently discovered that goats and fruits and even motor oil could test positive for the dreaded disease, as can unused COVID test swabs submitted to labs in the U.S. In other words, virtually anything might be contaminated. In an effort to further inform and educate the public about the severity of the crisis, hospitals and local news media in some areas, notably in New York, teamed up in March of this year to stage and film fake corporate media events using training mannequins and hordes of crisis actors portraying sick and dying victims for an avalanche of mainstream news clips, all which showed overworked hero doctors and nurses courageously battling this terrible but invisible enemy. One that can never be definitively identified or fully eradicated and always lurking in the shadows. You know, kind of like the imagined Muslim boogeymen in the War of Terror and their numerous sleeper cells, positioned across America and poised to strike at any moment, which our news media had so often warned us about before the emergence of this new menace. But, of course, we don't want to talk about that now because we've got this gang of wackos in the Congress. They're all Muslims, and apparently four more are joining the crew. Got a sophisticated cosmopolitan virus. All seems especially prevalent in the New York City area. There appears to exist less lethal celebrity and politician strains. And then there's a much more common, highly deadly strain, which ravages much of the general populace in certain areas of the world. And we see that in New York and Italy and elsewhere. But even more amazing, in Sweden, one can freely mingle unprotected with others, shake hands, they can hug their grandkids, remain healthy and unaffected, while the UK and Germany and French strains forbid all of that. In India alone, the deadly virus has managed to force 1.3 billion people into lockdowns in their homes indefinitely, after decimating a horrifying 0.008% of their population within just a few short months. But then we have Australia. They've imposed some of the most severe lockdown policies and barbarous police state tactics. They've recorded a staggering, 904 deaths so far, an absolutely astonishing 0.003% of their total population. What about New Zealand? Oh, man, they got hit with an alarming 25 deaths, an unthinkable 0.0005% of their population, and they had simply had no other choice but to enforce equally draconian measures to protect its citizenry from the threat of infection. And as this dreaded virus is thought to become much more active at night, strict curfews have been established on several countries in a valiant and noble effort to curb the spread. But meanwhile, despite no lockdowns or quarantines in densely populated Japan, right next door to China, and with many thousands of Chinese tourists, life seems to continue as usual. Very few reported deaths. Or cases, even. One might be inclined to wonder whether the Japanese people possess some sort of, maybe a special natural immunity. Until we find a similar situation in Uruguay, where, just as in Sweden, there have been no lockdowns, no quarantines, and yet again, very few supposed COVID deaths. But neighboring Argentina inexplicably remains under very harsh and strict lockdown conditions. But every single loss of life from this virus is tragic. Therefore, pushing 150 to 500 million people into starvation worldwide and turning many countries into brutally oppressive police states which shut down businesses, destroying people's livelihoods along with the global economy, and force innocent people into indefinite detention in their own homes. And it all considerably increases suicide rates. And they traumatize children, they beat and jail selfish, irresponsible, disruptive dissenters who actually have the audacity to dare speak out against tyranny in a defense of human freedom. Oh, that's a necessary price to pay to combat a virus which kills but a mere fraction of 1% of the entire global population. which has a 99.9% recovery rate. Experts, you see, have pointed out that this seasonal virus could easily be defeated by forever abolishing untraceable cash money. All smart, independent farms and businesses and families, individual privacy and liberty, and nearly every natural human right. And the possibility that we all may have been infected by now, though asymptomatic, means that any one of you, any one of all of us could potentially pose a danger, whether testing negative or positive, and that our natural antibodies may or may not provide immunity. Natural antibodies. See, we got a health statement in here, didn't we? But all this, you see, could depend on geographic location, the level of corruption of government officials and the media in any given area. And therefore, you see that most public health officials agree that only a comprehensive, government-funded and globally mandated contact tracing an involuntary detainment and isolation program, along with untested experimental DNA-altering nanotech vaccine, could possibly save humanity by force vaccinating billions of people against their will every single year for a constantly mutating virus, the particular strain of which has long since passed. But we've read this week that a second strain, far more devastating than the first, is on its way. But come, my friends, please remember, we're all in this together. So please be responsible and take care not to spread the dangerous misinformation which challenges or disputes the official narrative, disrupts the New World Order and their plans to enslave humanity, or promotes human freedom and other such nonsense, or threatens the power which our tyrannical oppressors currently enjoy. After all, dissemination of any information is best left to the trusted official experts, people like Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, the WHO, the CDC, the Rockefeller Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and let's not forget the professionals over at CNN, MSNBC, CBS, Google, Twitter, Sit on My Facebook, and all the other very reliable corporate media outlets. And there's seasoned, highly trained journalists around the world, whom, of course, we can be assured are working tirelessly to keep us all safe from this very grave threat to humanity. And cometh the new year. I thank John Peterson for sharing that phenomenal commentary with me. And I'm proud to have presented to our audience. Obviously, it's all meant in sarcasm. I pray God you people had the intelligence to figure that one out. I only added one thing to John's posting, and this, by the way, is also published at Federal Observer. The COVID con. Beyond absurd. But I added one thing to it, because I had the image and I've been begging for a place to use it. And I posted it on John's piece. And what I added were five words. And cometh a new year. You'll need to go to the site to see what's posted directly underneath it. It says a lot. We are living in some amazingly perilous times. None of this, my friends, is going to disappear in two more days. It's not going to happen. How in the world did I do that stupid thing? I got a video running. It's off now. Good God. Today's the 30th. Tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. Big deal. It's nothing to celebrate. Do you honestly believe that come Friday, everything is going to stop and everything is going to go back to normal? Do you think on January the 6th, everything is going to change and go back to normal? Do you, honest to God, think that come January 20th, everything is going to go back to normal? I don't know what normal is any longer. Now, that's not true. Normal, my friends, is chaos, insanity, unbelievable. When I was a kid, there was a game, per se, that we played. Interestingly enough, an hour and a half ago, I was playing the same game in my front yard. Granny sent me something the other day. And actually, it was published, not the other day, this morning, published by Fred Neudecker over at the Jackson Press. It's called Picking Up Sticks. He says, I read somewhere that hard work is a sign of a willingness to be responsible. So typically, people who are getting things done are usually getting them done for others as well as themselves. And Neudecker says, some time ago in an interview with the Chamber of Commerce's leadership, I describe myself as a man that picks up sticks, which may sound strange to most of you, and it does sound a little strange to me as well, but let me explain what's meant. Years ago, I had the privilege to attend and obtain a scouting award called the Wood Badge. And the aim of that program was to make scouters better leaders by teaching advanced leadership skills. And one of those teaching skills that he particularly enjoyed was the art of picking up sticks, or teaching that everyone can work at any level, provide a service, and that service need not be for profit of the wallet, but one of the heart. And the art of picking up sticks has nothing to do with sticks at all. It instead has everything to do with providing a service for your neighbor or your community without thought or question of compensation. It is the art of personally helping others. And why do I call it an art, and how much skill does it take to pick up a stick? The skill and the art of picking up sticks is derived from knowing what is important and possible to accomplish with the resources at hand. How difficult can that be, you ask? Everyone should know what is important. But it's the art of being able to organize what is important and do the simple steps to accomplish it. A former Republican representative once said, America today faces a grave moral and leadership crisis, and those of us who care about our country's future can no longer sit on the sidelines and remain neutral. Our leaders today have failed in the exercise of picking up sticks, people. They instead of trying to understand the simplicity of solving problems in a single step at a time, they mutilate the truth to their own end. But to be a leader is a dangerous game for those that have not the great courage in expressing disdain at the selling the rights of others for the indulgences of oneself. You find yourself on the wrong side of the road when it comes to money, and way too often your courage wanes due to the weight of too many sticks. But have courage, my friends, for many have gone this way before you. In the year 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. Luther became known as a reformer, others as a destroyer. For I remember his bold stand as a turning point in church history. For Luther refused to allow God's truth to be compromised. Remember that picking up a few sticks can be quite easy. These are all things to give serious thought to. I am closing in on the end of this hour. I gave great thought tonight to the closing piece of music. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I have the next 4 days off, except I'm not off. My workload never ends. I've got website issues I need to deal with. I've got family issues we need to deal with. I've got several years of tax issues I need to get on and get it done before my accountant comes unglued. The personal stuff we're up to date with. Got money coming back. The corporate stuff I'm behind the eight ball on. And I can't allow that to happen any longer. It has been an interesting year. I don't believe we're going to have any positive change next year, my friends. Gird up. Prepare for battle. You can tune in all you want, but take some heart and some lessons from much that we're getting ready for. I share with you some words that are interesting and give all this consideration tonight. A human life, I think, should be well-rooted in some spot of a native land where it may get the love of tender kinship from the face of the earth, for the labors men go forth to, for the sounds and the accents that haunt it, for whatever will give that early home a familiar, unmistakable difference amidst the future widening of knowledge. The best introduction to astronomy is to think of the nightly heavens as a little lot of stars belonging to one's own homestead. Those are the words of George Eliot. I bid you all good night. I bid you all a better year, a better future, a better life for each and every one of us. My friends, it's long overdue. Good night.
This road that will take
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.